Welcome to the Nutrition for Me show on UK Health Radio, your global feel-good radio. I'm Dora Walsh, personalised nutritionist and functional medicine practitioner, supporting you to overcome your health problems like obesity, hard to lose weight, low immunity, chronic fatigue, skin conditions, digestive problems, autoimmunity, out of control cravings, and much more. Join me each week as I delve into the fascinating world of health and nutrition, focusing on the most important tips and nutritional advice that can really aid us in our quest for health, energy, and longevity. Today, we're talking about longevity and a current movement in wellness, which is now hitting the mainstream. Longevity is a field of medicine which tells us how to live longer and healthier. Its main goal is not only to prolong lifespan, but also to ensure we live active, productive, and healthy lives, even as we age. So how exactly do we define longevity, and what simple changes to our lifestyle can we make to live beyond our life expectancy? What do the longest living cultures around the world seem to do differently, and how can we realistically add life to our years and achieve a wonderful health span? This week, we're speaking with Belle Amat, registered nutritionist and senior lecturer in naturopathic nutrition and nutritionist at W Wellness. W Wellness is a UK-based platform providing personalized nutrition advice, curated supplements and products, acting as a one-stop shop, connecting users with experts for one-to-one consultations and offering tailored, premium and clinically proven products. You can find out more about W Wellness on their website, w-wellness.co.uk, and listeners can save 20% off their shop by using the code HEALTHRADIO20. And also for our longevity expert, you can find out about Belle Amat on her Facebook page, Belle Nutrition, as well as her Instagram at Belle Nutrition. And also she's on LinkedIn. And if you want to find out about her pop-up events, her menu creation and her longevity pop-ups, as well as her retreats, go to her website, www.belleamat.com. And the way you spell Belle Amat is B-E-L-L-E and then it's A-M-A-T-T, just so you get it right. So it's belleamat.com. Welcome to the show, Belle. It's great to have you here.
Thanks, Dora. Really delighted to be invited to talk about my favourite topic.
It's such a hot topic, but you've been into it before it became fashionable and a buzzword. So obviously you're ahead of your time. We're talking about longevity. How do we define longevity? What can we realistically do to add life to our years? Well, before we go into talking about that, tell us about your story. How did you come to be a nutritionist with an interest in longevity?
Okay, thanks, Dora. Those are two quite different questions. Backstory to how I became a nutritionist takes me back to my adventures in India, where I worked early 1990s and had the most amazing time. However, did contract quite a few tropical diseases, which had extremely detrimental impacts on my gut. And when I returned to the UK, I'd lost a significant amount of weight and was very much struggling to eat. And eating has really been my sort of joy de vivre over the years. I've been a foodie since day dot. So it was heartbreaking for me to really feel like I couldn't eat what I wanted to eat. And we are predating the internet here. So I was off to libraries looking at different books and trying to work out what I could understand about the digestive system, what might have happened whilst I was in India and contracted things like Giardia and Salmonella, and then had a huge amount of antibiotics to reduce and eliminate those bacteria. And over the course of researching that, I got my gut to a really good place and discovered the concept of becoming a nutritionist. So here we're going back to the 1990s, and which during that time, being a nutritionist was quite a novel thing. Not many people really understood what that was. And I resolved my guts, and it was a light bulb moment in terms of me thinking, if I can do this for myself, I can do this for other people. So that led me to start researching different nutrition courses. And I found a diploma down in Cornwall with a guy called Dr. Lawrence Plaskett, who was really like a reform thinker in his field at the time. And that diploma became a degree. So I was studying my degree and during this time started to experience quite a lot of endocrine types of conditions. So by endocrine, I mean my thyroid was not working very well. My stress response was incredibly quick fire, let's say, abnormal. My menstrual cycles had stopped and I sought a diagnosis and actually was diagnosed in 2010 with a pituitary tumor. So I went through the traditional treatments, the traditional is probably the wrong word, the orthodox treatments of having 2 months of brain surgery and quite a long course of radiotherapy. And it was that time when, and anyone listening who's had a diagnosis will understand the concept that there's a period of time where you feel like things are out of your control. And when your health journey feels out of control, then you've got a couple of choices, really. And what I chose to do was take the reins of everything I possibly could to enhance my chances of longevity. And I came across a book called The Okinawa Way, where some researchers had gone to Okinawa, which, if you're not familiar with the Blue Zones, is one of the Blue Zones, and they are islands off the coast of Japan. And I was fascinated by this book. I read it cover to cover, and it was all about how there are a phenomenal amount of centenarians living in Okinawa, and the researchers were trying to understand why. So I took this book and I thought, I'm going to really read this and think about my own longevity and all of the things I can possibly do to get my health back on track. So the answer to your question there, Dora, how did I get interested in longevity? Personal journey. And I think that resonates with a lot of health practitioners out there. We often come to this place of wanting to help people because we've had our own personal journey that's just been a light bulb moment of, I need to act right now and take the reins.
It's a wonderful story, and I think a story that many people can relate to. It's like this emergency in the health and then the search for something to help yourself and then continuing that journey because you want to have a long, healthy life. And especially important if people have children, which I think you have, you want to be around and be there for your family. You want to enjoy life and make the most of it and live a healthy life for as long as possible. So the book, The Okinawa Way, is a fantastic book. And I think we can learn a lot from the Japanese, can't we? And we'll go on to talk about those blue zones, because I think it's in the blue zone, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Actually, it's been delisted as a blue zone due to westernization. But I don't feel that takes away the validity of understanding how centenarians lived through the 50s, through the 60s, through the 70s, what kinds of foods they were eating, etc., is still hugely relevant. And it is an area that boasts the greatest amount of centenarians of all of the blue zones. Yeah, I totally agree with you, Dora. We can learn a lot from the way that the Japanese, not just the foods they eat, but how they eat and the way they live their lives.
Now, when people hear about the word longevity, they often think about simply living longer, which is something. But how do you interpret this concept?
Yes, they do indeed. That's very true. When I've used the word longevity in the past, I often have the response of, why would I want to live over the age of 100 when I'm not going to feel my best? Maybe I'm immobile. Maybe I've got pain. And my answer to that has always been, if you could see the way that a lot of centenarians live in the blue zones, which we'll discuss where they are if you're not familiar, they are living with vitality. And for me, that's what longevity is all about. It's about extending health span so that we can live for as long as possible, feeling physically capable, mentally sharp, emotionally balanced. So I feel a long life without vitality is not the goal. Neither is the use of artificial biohacking methods, in my opinion. Really, longevity for me personally is about learning how the centenarians have thrived, have managed to thrive through their lives, reach a point in which they're both mentally and physically incredibly well.
I know that we talked about the Japanese in Okinawa. There are different areas around the world. From what you've learned, what do the longest living cultures around the world seem to do differently?
Great question. And it's a really interesting one because those blue zones are in such diverse geographical areas, from Costa Rica to an island off the coast of Greece to the shepherd enclaves of Sardinia to Loma Linda in California. So it's important that we don't just think about geographical locations. Yes, they've all got the sun and they are exposed to more light. And I think that is quite a priority area that we can learn from. They have light exposure. They also eat extremely simply, doesn't need to be complicated. It tends to be seasonal, unprocessed, and also fundamentally so important to the chronic diseases we see today, organic without having pesticide exposure. Another important moment to consider is the movement. So movement is built into daily life. It's not about training for triathlons or really pushing our bodies to their absolute kind of end of energy moment. And that stress moment you get when you're really over-exercising, that's not happening in the blue zones. It's about gentle, everyday, incidental exercise. I like that term. I also feel a point that really needs to be emphasized is the strong social bonds with friends, with family. These are really central to life, to the structure of society in these areas. Two more that I'd like to point out. One is about downshifting, a phrase that's used by Dan Buettner, who created the Blue Zones concept. In the UK, I guess we would say stress reduction. So it's built into daily life. It's not something that happens once a week or once a month or when we get to the point of burnout, but it's integrated into their daily routines. And it might be prayer. It might be a moment of meditation. It might be a little bit more fluid. It might be just that somebody is walking outside and putting their face into the light and just taking a moment to breathe. And then the final one is that maintaining purpose, particularly in our later years where our careers may have ended, we may have retired, but we still maintain this, what they would call ikigai in Japan. And there are other names in other cultures, but what we need to understand is the importance of waking up in the morning and understanding what your day is about. Who am I? What's my purpose in life? And it doesn't need to be a huge thing. It could well be that somebody is looking after a great grandchild, or they've got an incredible hobby that they really enjoy. They've got a creative outlet, but they really understand what they're all about.
They have a purpose. They have meaning in their life. So it keeps them here on the earth.
Yeah, absolutely.
There are so many different things and they're not very difficult things to do. It's really great to know that all of this is within our reach, isn't it?
It is. I totally agree with you, Dora. I do feel like we can overcomplicate longevity by looking for things that are more unnatural. And by that, I'm thinking about IV infusions, for example. We have a concept, I think, sometimes not a concept, we have a tendency in the Western world to grab hold of a piece of information and maybe overdo it by thinking, let's flood the body with something, as opposed to just stepping back and looking at simple foods that we could use. It's a collection of different rituals that we need to bring in. And it shouldn't feel overwhelming. I feel with longevity education, which is what I love to provide in creative ways, what my purpose always is for guests to leave an event or to leave a talk feeling like they've got some more tools in their toolkit. They're not overwhelmed by huge amounts of new ideas, but they're thinking, what can I do next? What's the most meaningful ritual that I can now bring into my daily life? And as human beings, I think a really positive thing is we're so good at creating new habits. Yes, we create bad habits as well, and they take a while to break down, but we can break them down, and we can through a series of repetitive inclusions of these types of daily rituals. These over time become totally normal. It's an interesting thing I find. For example, breath work, bringing breath work into the day can feel a little bit unnatural if you've never done it before. But if we take just 5 minutes a day, perhaps this is either when we wake up or when we go to bed, just to do some deep breathing, then over the course of a few months, it becomes as natural as grabbing your toothbrush in the evening and cleaning your teeth.
Yeah, it's like this is accessible for everyone that wants to make that effort to start building up that habit. It's totally possible. And as you say, also, we don't want to get overwhelmed with these. We can just do them, build them up gradually, so that over time, there's a few different things we're doing to support our longevity. Now, you mentioned your retreats. You do some longevity retreats. Can our listeners find out about that on your website?
Yes. If you head to the events page, they will be there. I'm heading to the Algarve and I'll be working there on a health retreat. That's all on my website. But also, if you follow me on Instagram, you'll see these popping up, these reminders of the different retreats that are available.
Wonderful. So your website is bellandmatt.com and your Instagram is bellnutritionist. Is that right?
Just bellnutrition, one word.
Bellnutrition. If our listeners today go on to Instagram, you'll find her there. And that's where you'll find all the notices about the wonderful retreats that you're doing. What about the topic of genetics? People talk about how our genes can dictate how long we live. Do you think environment plays a bigger role rather than genetics?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And it's indisputable based on a really fantastic study called the Danish Twin Studies, which followed the lives of over 2,000 Danish twins, identical twins, to understand exactly this point, Dora. What's the ratio of genetics versus environment in terms of our ability to live well into our later years? And the outcome of the study was that actually genetics only plays between 25 to 30% of our potential to either live well or to develop disease. So we can see genetics is loading the gun, but I find it incredibly powerful, empowering. And I talk to clients a lot about this when they've got genetic disease in their family, that we have this 70% control. So we've got the reins in our hands and we can really look at the foundational elements of health and think through, how do we sleep? How do we eat? Are we socially connected? Do we do moderate exercise? Looking at our food quality, etc. So I think that's quite a powerful statistic.
That's so important. And again, also a relief to hear, because as you say, people come into our clinics. I've got the same issue. They get very scared when they hear about, sometimes they've had a gene test, they're very worried, but it's not all down to the genes. It's how they play out in the environment and how we treat our body, which will dictate whether those genes are switched on or off. It's very important to understand that. Now, we're going to be talking a lot more about how to define longevity and what we can learn from those longest living people in the earth with Bella Matt. She's a nutritionist at W Wellness. She's also a nutritionist herself. Well, you can find out more about her on her website, Bella Matt. You can find out more about W Wellness on their website, w-wellness.co.uk. But we're going to be talking a lot more about that after a few messages from our commercial partners.
The station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment, we explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving, it's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
Somewhere on Earth, there are 4 acres that belong to you. You don't need to be there in person, only there in purpose, protecting it, defending it, keeping it alive. Because the world doesn't need more good intentions. It needs more meaningful actions. Register your interest at 4acresearth.com.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
You're listening to Dora Walsh on UK Health Radio, your global feel-good radio. And this week we're speaking with Bella Matt, nutritionist at W Wellness. Also, you can find out about W Wellness on their website, w-wellness.co.uk. And for listeners today, you can save 20% off your shop by using Health Radio 20 as a code at the checkout. So definitely have a look on there and see if there are any nutritional products that you'd like. And also, if you'd like to find out more about Bella Matt, our guest today, our expert nutritionist on the topic of longevity, then go to her website, bellamatt.com. Also, follow her on Instagram at Bell Nutrition and find her on LinkedIn. You can find out about her retreats and her services and also the menu curation she does. Well, we're talking about this really important and hot topic at the moment, Bell, longevity. Learning a bit about what the longest living people on the earth do, how can we learn from that, how can we be inspired and make these little changes in our life to add life to our years. We talked about the impact of genetics and whether it's genetics or environment. We talked about how you actually focus on longevity for your life because you had a health scare in your life and that became your focus. So that is really inspirational. We also talked about having a purpose and how that supports us in our longevity when we have meaning in our life. So let's talk about the role of food as well and how that can support us in our long-term health. What are your thoughts on food and longevity?
Oh, I feel, Dora, food and longevity go hand in hand. Food is foundational for sure, but I also think, and I'm going to say right at the beginning of the food conversation, is that we could have the most incredibly nutritious diet, but if we're not ticking the other boxes, it's only really a dip in the ocean. So yes, food is foundational, but it's part of a bigger picture. Now, the reason food is so important is because it's influencing inflammation, metabolic health, hormone balance, and also brain recovery. And with Alzheimer's now being one of the leading causes of death in the UK, I think it's really important to think about the types of foods that protect the brain. Now, the strongest evidence for longevity foods are all about whole foods, with a reduction in processed foods as much as possible. What we're really trying to avoid are consuming large amounts of food that have a lot of problematic additives and pesticide exposure, etc. Now, it's important that we don't feel stressed by trying to reach for perfection. So I would say one of the best things you can do when you're thinking about choosing foods is to attempt to go as organic as possible. So if that feels overwhelming in terms of cost, then just choose a couple of types of foods that you eat on a regular basis. Maybe that's apples, maybe it's bananas. Now, interestingly, Dora, I went to the supermarket the other day. I won't name it, but it was a major supermarket. And I bought my fruit and vegetables for myself, all from the organic section. And then I went over to the non-organic section to see how much money I'd spent extra. It was 40 pence.
Oh, wow.
It's quite interesting when you look carefully, some of the bags of organic foods, although they're a little bit more expensive, they're actually sometimes you get more in there too. So the weight of something, of course, needs to be measured. So I'd say if you feel that you can't fully commit to organic, just make some small measures. Fiber-rich is something else as well. When you have a look at the types of foods that are eaten in the areas of the world where people live a long time, if you're looking at their plate, about 70 to 80% of that is fibrous. So that might be starchy foods like sweet potatoes, or nothing wrong with normal potatoes. They get a bit of a bad rep, but they're incredibly nutritious. All depends how we cook them, of course. Proteins really hit the headlines, I'd say, in the world of nutrition over the last 12 months. And I would hope it's not at the expense of people having a good amount of fiber on their plate. Now, protein in the blue zones is, of course, eaten, but it's good quality. It might be organic eggs. It could be tofu. It could be that an animal has been taken from the village and killed for a celebration, but that animal has not been pumped full of hormones and pesticides, etc. So my personal feeling on meat consumption is look for the source. Where is it coming from? Has it been grown under the organic standards? Is it a pasture-fed animal, for example? More is not always the best place to go when we're thinking about fish and meat. Think about other types of proteins such as nuts and seeds and pulses. In fact, buying organic pulses has even less of a gap in terms of price as when you're looking at fruits and vegetables. Healthy fats can often be overlooked in the Western world, I would say. Thinking about avocados, really good quality olive oils. Something we're looking to do that we can learn from with the blue zones is that blood sugar stabilizing. So when we're looking at our plate, have we got a good source of fat? Maybe that's avocado, maybe that's olive oil, maybe that's some eggs on our plate. Have we got a good amount of fiber that's balancing out that glucose spike that we get when we've eaten? Now, there's nothing wrong with having a glucose elevation. That's perfectly normal. But what we need to avoid are those really highly processed foods that have sugars in there that might have been made from things like corn, so high fructose corn syrup. These are the unnatural ingredients that lead to unnatural blood sugar spikes that we need to be avoiding when we're looking for longevity, improving longevity potential. And then the other thing that I've mentioned that I'll just mention one more time is the pesticide issue and the link to neurodegenerative disease. As much as we can, if we can be avoiding those types of agrochemicals that get into our foods, then that is something we can do to protect our brains as we get older.
So important. I'm so glad you talked about these things, focusing on really natural foods, as organic as possible, fruit and veg, the fiber, the organic forms of protein, either from organic eggs or really meat that's been from an animal that's been well cared for and not pumped with hormones, etc. So all things we need to bear in mind. Also the healthy fats. Many people are scared of fats, aren't they, Belle? But we need them, and we need to get them from the right sources like avocado and olive oil and nuts and seeds, and also trying to go as organic as possible if you can.
Yeah, I agree with you, Dora, 100% about the fear of fats. And it's interesting how that's lingered from the 1970s and the 1980s. And now we understand more about the purpose of fat. It's really important that we're getting some fatty foods into our diet without feeling fearful.
What simple principles tend to stand the test of time?
Eat mostly real food. Move every day. Very important, particularly as we're often either office-based or if we're working from home, we're sitting a lot. And perhaps every hour, challenge yourself to stand up, move. Maybe you're doing some star jumps. Maybe you've got some weights. I've got some small weights that I keep next to my kettle. So every time I make a cup of tea, whilst I'm waiting for the kettle to boil, I'm just doing some very simple core work and building in these really easily achievable habits that make a big difference over time. Consistency is key. Sleep, we haven't mentioned yet, and sleep is an absolute pillar of health. So protecting our sleep is of utmost importance. Again, thinking about the brain and how important it is to preserve our brain health as we get older, so we can inhibit the potential of going into cognitive decline, really is dependent on many things, but particularly your sleep cycles. So if we think about some very prestigious politicians that we had throughout the 1980s, I'm thinking Margaret Thatcher, Ronald Reagan, they both wore like a badge of honor the fact that they could get by with just 4 hours sleep a night. And I think we can really learn from this. It's not a huge trial. I'm just talking to people here, but they did both go on to develop Alzheimer's. During the night, our brains restore. It's so important for us to go through our restorative sleep cycles. So sleep hygiene, thinking about giving yourself some firm, I don't like to use the word rules, Dora, but some firm guidelines and health points to keep in place. And one of them is about thinking, when are you going to stop looking at a screen in the evening? Could we have a switch off time? Is that going to be 7 p.m.? Is that how long are you going to give your brain time to unwind before you go to bed? That's such a key point. And then we've got to think about building strength. So as we get older, we lose muscle mass, perfectly normal, but we need to understand that and work to counterbalance. So in areas of the world where they remain strong and vital throughout their lives, they are consistently doing things like lifting or squatting or getting up off the floor. Going back to Japan, that's a really good example. Fascinating that they spend a lot of time sitting on the floor and getting up off the floor. And it's these simple movements that we can bring into our own lives that will help to bring core strength. Avoiding excess sugar. And here I am not talking about fruits, and I know people get very confused about that. I'm talking unnatural sugars, processed sugars, those types of words that you see on the back of a packet of something that are so multisyllabic that we hardly understand them. Look at the packet, read the label. If you don't understand what's in the food and you don't recognize it, then perhaps we shouldn't be putting it into our bodies. And then the final thing that we need to hold dear to is to remain socially connected. And we look back to lockdown and we can really understand the detrimental effect that being socially isolated has on our mental and physical health. And they did some interesting experiments, Dora, back in that time. I don't know if you're familiar with them. They were on mice. They separated the mice from their families and they tested their microbiomes before and after the separation. And actually, the stress of the social isolation changed their microbiome quite considerably. The diversity of the bacteria they had living in their gut, and we all know how important gut health is. So being socially isolated works against us on many different health levels.
Earlier in the show, we touched on the topic of biohacking because there is a lot of talk about biohacking and people doing these really extreme things. Let's talk about what you think the difference is between biohacking and longevity.
Yeah, great question, Dora, because I think these two words get used interchangeably in the current wellness climate. And for me, they're very different. There's an overlap, absolutely, because the end goal of biohacking and longevity living is to live with more vitality as we get older. However, how I feel where the difference lies here is that biohacking is generally quite an unnatural set of tools. I'm not discounting the fact that it's useful information in terms of research, etc., but it feels more about short-term optimization, interventions which are improving performance. Yes, absolutely could be useful. But I feel like longevity is broader, it's more sustainable, it's more durable over the novelty factor of biohacking.
We're going to have a little commercial break now. But after that, I'd love to talk about the supplements which you'd recommend for longevity, because I think alongside the food and the movement, the mindset, the connection. There's a lot we can do with supplements. They can supplement our life. They can enhance our health and help us to achieve our goals. And we'll talk about that after a few messages from our promoting partner.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your worst dreams aren't your enemy?
Falling, cheating, being chased, naked, drowning, losing teeth. What if I fail? What if something goes wrong?
I'm Teresa Chung, dream expert, best-selling author, and co-host of The Healing Power of Your Dreams. And in my latest title, Extreme Dreaming, I reveal a powerful truth. There are no bad dreams.
They feel so real, but that's so you remember them.
They're messages, signals, transformative gifts guiding you toward clarity.
Click on the Extreme Dreaming discount banner link on UK Health Radio homepage and learn to decode even your darkest dreams.
Extreme Dreaming.
Are you ready to listen?
The station that makes you feel good.
You're listening to UK Health Radio. I'm Dora Walsh on the Nutrition For Me show. And this week we're talking about longevity. How do we define it? How can we add life to our years? And we're speaking with Belle Amat. She's a nutritionist at W Wellness. And you can find out about W Wellness on their website, w-wellness.co.uk. They are an online supplement store where you can get health supplements and products, or even connect one-to-one with nutritionists. So anybody that wants to get 20% off their shop can use the code HEALTHRADIO20 at checkout to get 20% off their wonderful health products and supplements. Now, we've been talking about biohacking and longevity. I'd like to move on to talk about supplements and what you recommend for longevity, Belle. What are your thoughts?
It's a really fascinating question. And my feelings about supplementation are always that we need to consider our own very individual journeys. So all of the information we've talked about so far really blends into the supplements conversation. Because I would consider that if we want to supplement for longevity, we need to look within and think, which of the areas am I missing here that need some support? What are the pillars of health? Let's start there. So let's start with diet. And of course, we'd always like our clients and the people we're educating on nutrition to be eating organic, plant-based foods, and everything's hunky-dory. But the reality is that many people are time poor, or perhaps they have digestive issues where their body doesn't do well with lots of vegetables. And in that situation, I'd say work as hard as you can to have a wonderful, optimized diet. However, this is where some great supplements can come in. Now, there's one that I use, which is a super greens powder. And something that is incredibly beneficial for the body is a large amount of, for most people, brightly colored fruits and vegetables. And the reason for this is there's lots of wonderful protective plant compounds in there. Greens are fantastic. And here I'm thinking about chlorella and spirulina and barley grass and wheatgrass. But for most people who are super busy, it's not practical for them to be sprouting these things and taking a whole range of different supplements on a daily basis. So I go for a greens powder. And every morning I get some organic apple juice. I put a heaped teaspoon of this super greens powder by a company called Kiki. And I put some lime juice in there, I shake it up and I drink that. It's wonderfully palatable. And I know that I've alkalized my body. One of the problems is with long-term health is that we consume too many foods that are quite acid-forming. So very high levels of meat. I'm talking if we're eating meat, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, for example, this can be quite acid-forming. And the body works better when it's more alkalized. So I know I've ticked that box in that situation. Another area that we can have some support with is our protein levels. Now, particularly with vegetarians or people who feel like they're too busy to cook, I would say a nice pure protein powder made from peas, for example. The one I use is Pure Blend. It's just three types of protein-rich plant-based foods that have been ground down into a powder, and I put a heaped tablespoon of that into my yogurt on a daily basis. So it's these simple hacks that are very useful when we look at our diet and we're clear with ourselves that there's areas that need some support. Vitamin D, everybody's heard about how important vitamin D is. As we get older, we don't metabolize it as well. So we're not as, our levels of vitamin D are not in the place where they need to be to sustain good health. We have vitamin D receptors all over our bodies. So the signs and symptoms of vitamin D deficiency are far and wide. And it's one vitamin that we really need to be keeping an eye on. Now, to get a little bit more niche, Dora, I've talked about brain health quite a lot. So it's probably quite clear that's something that I talk about a lot in my discussions and my retreat work. And one of the reasons that is because of this rise in Alzheimer's and neurodegenerative conditions. So I really like to keep an eye on the brain. And because of that, I'm a huge fan of taking phosphatidylcholine. So if you're not familiar with what this is, it's a compound that our bodies naturally make, and it's involved in cell membrane integrity. Now, this reduces as we age, which can have quite a negative impact on our brains without going too technical. Now, for women after the menopause, it's particularly important because estrogen has a role in creating this compound. So it's something for me, particularly at my age with my gender, that I will have on a daily basis. And it's a really good example there of how I feel there's no generic answer to the question of supplementation. We really need to look at our own individual circumstances or have a consultation with a nutritionist, or something we offer at W Wellness is a 30-minute consultation to really understand what you as an individual require in terms of the types of supplements that are out there. It's such a huge area, isn't it? People get very confused because they read all of these different health articles about supplements. What it comes down to is having someone who's qualified to give you very bespoke advice, create that plan for you. I think that's the most important thing.
But when it comes to supplements, there are a few great ones that, you know, everybody can benefit from. I definitely agree with what you're saying. I love the green juice. I also personally love fish oil. I think it's great for everyone. But when we want to drill down into the specifics of really tailoring what we're doing to ourselves, then we need that bit of expert advice. So for anyone listening today that is interested in that, definitely try out W Wellness. So you can find out more about them on their website, w-wellness.co.uk. They do have nutritionists there. And also you can get supplements from there as well. And also get a discount if you use the code HealthRadio20. Belle, let us also about detox retreats and how that fits into longevity support.
Yeah, detox retreats are something I hold very dear. And I spin a lot of plates, but my detox retreats are just, they fill me with absolute joy. It's probably my ikigai, one of them. There's lots of ikigais going on. But what I love about hosting a detox retreat and leading the nutrition side of things, which involves doing the check-in screenings, understanding what my clients have come to achieve. And then during the table talks, we'll be having conversations about brain health and bone health, etc. In terms of longevity, what people are achieving is a level of understanding about how they could improve their day-to-day health rituals. So a detox retreat, people come often with an expectation of leaving feeling rejuvenated, regenerated. Maybe they want to lose weight. Maybe they want to sleep better. What they get out of the experience is a huge amount of connection, which is so important. A lot of the blue zones, longevity, tick boxes that we've been discussing, Dora, that's how you feel when you leave. You've had all of those things at the same time. Human connection, plant-based foods, you've given your body some time to rest away from the stresses of modern day society. Your brain has come down to a place where it can think straight. The idea also of removing food for 7 days and thriving on juice and broths really gives the body a chance to understand how to fulfill its metabolic switching. So what I mean from that is, instead of using glucose and glycogen as its main fuel source, it's switching to fat burn. And that's incredibly useful in terms of longevity. It really helps with switching on longevity genes. Also has been shown to contribute towards autophagy, which is where our brains clear away cellular debris. And you leave there feeling incredibly elevated, I would say, mentally and physically elevated. And the retreats that I'm working on in the Algarve, we have 50% returning guests.
Wow.
Which speaks volumes. A lot of those guests come between 2 and 3 times a year. They'll come for either a 7-day fast or a 10-day fast, and they leave feeling like they've got more tools in their toolkit. They've reminded themselves how good it feels to really look after yourselves. And it's a common misconception that people come to detox retreats just to lose weight. When I'm doing the check-in screenings, I'd say maybe 1 out of 15 of the guests has come specifically to lose weight. Everybody else uses words beginning with RE, rejuvenate, reset, recalibrate, all of these things. And then they go back to their normal lives with a greater incentive to continue the journey of wellness. And it's an interesting thing. I really love to listen to my guests and love to listen to why they've come back. And they will generally say, when I got back last time, I felt so amazing. I continued with quite a lot of the information that I'd been given, which generally is about improving sleep, eating better, doing moderate exercise. And then over the course of 6 months, let's say, these things fall away a little bit because we get caught back up in our 21st century fast-paced lives. And then they come back again. And each time you come back to a health retreat, you leave with more tools in your toolkit, more joy in your heart, more connection, more friends. So it takes a huge amount of longevity boxes.
It's been wonderful talking with you, Belle. Thank you so much for coming on UK Health Radio to speak about longevity, what we can do to add life to our years. For our listeners today, if you're interested in the work of Belle Amat and her longevity retreat, definitely check out her website. And it's belleamat.com, is that right?
Yes, that's right. Belle Amat, one word.
BelleAmatAltogether.com. So it's BELLE and it's AMATT.com. And for people that are interested in supplements and they want to enhance what they're doing by trying some supplements and health products, you can try out W Wellness. They are a supplement company where they sell different supplements. And their website is w-wellness.co.uk. And if you use the code HealthRadio20, you can get 20% off your shop, which is wonderful. They also have nutritionists there too. And listeners, I really do hope you've enjoyed listening to the show as much as I've enjoyed presenting it. Listen again next week for even more for the Nutrition for Me show with Dora Walsh on UK Health Radio. Until then, thank you and goodbye.